a mouthful, isn't it? Of him, that means it comes from him. Through him, that means you can't do anything without him.
Amen.
And to him, that means from you back goes the praise. Come, man, that's a whole sermon full. Appreciate that, Brother David. May the Lord bless all of our study and meditation on the Word. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. We've been speaking about the kingdom for couple months now. And I'd like to finish up these, or at least the 13th chapter of Matthew in the parables that Jesus spoke about the kingdom. And this is an important one. Right after the pearl in verse 47. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, just as leaven is spoken of in a bad sense in a lot of other places, but the Lord used leaven in a good sense, so also the net is used in a bad sense a lot of times in the Scripture. We find David talking about, King David talking about the net, and he mentioned his enemy spreading a net and that his feet were caught in it and they entangled him in it. He was certainly entangled in a lot of nets, wasn't he? Solomon mentioned the nets in a negative light. Isaiah says, regarding those of Israel that had not heeded the Lord's commands and instructions are suffering from the consequences of it, and they that are like a wild bull caught in a net, being full of fury. Have you ever been caught in a net? You ever watch TV where the people get caught in a net? What did they do? Did they just sit there? No. They're writhing. They're trying to get out of it. They're doing their dead level best to find that one opening, and they can't because they're tangled up in it. It's a net. Now, so some of the, when the wicked use it, they lay it to entrap you. Now, God also is said to cast a net. And, Jeremiah spoke of being caught in a net that the Lord set, and which made him desolate and faint all day long. Ezekiel speaks of God spreading a net for Israel to them to be taken into captivity into Babylon. He called that a net that God set. God's the one that sent them into captivity. So, Hosea speaks of God spreading His net upon those that are disobedient to His commands. And Job said this in Job 19 and 6, He hath compassed me with His net. So the net's used a lot of times in the Old Testament in a good light and in a bad light. But the net itself is neither good nor bad. The property of the net is to entangle and to entrap. All right? And here, It says that the kingdom of heaven is like a net which men cast into the sea. Now, it's used according to its properties or its purpose of entrapment, or to catch itself, or to catch things with it. But it depends on the motivation of who's throwing it. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
If your enemies throw a net, what's the purpose? It's to entrap you for something bad, for nefarious purposes. When God casts the net, it's always good. Right? Because His purposes in throwing and casting the net is to catch you for good things. Even if it's because you've been disobedient.
Yes.
Now, this net, this cast into the sea, and it's drawn to shore. Now, I've witnessed this. Okay, this is when I go fishing. Okay, it's not like putting a worm on a hook, hoping one fish and targeting one kind of fish to bite the hook. Okay, it's not for one fish. It's to cast it into the sea, and you can't see what's down there. And in Africa, I've witnessed this. I just wanted to go on up. Is this bless my soul? When I walked out the back and I looked down in that little bay down there, and these Africans are in these hollowed out boats, and they go out together in the boats, and then these are fishermen, and they go out, and then they get one of them gets one end of the net, and they paddle out around till the other end is gone, and they drop it down, and then they row back to shore with the net, and it's entrapping all kinds of fish. And while they're doing it, they're singing to one another. Amanda just blessed my soul to witness that. And when they drew it to shore, there was a bunch of fish in that net that they wanted to keep, that they were looking for. And there was some fish in that net that was what we call trash fish, like old buffalo or something. And they threw them back. They just cast them, they threw them back. And they kept the ones that were fitting to keep. Don't y'all do that when you go fishing? I've caught eels before and kept them, but usually I don't like to keep eels if I'm crappie fishing. We don't have eels down here much. I ain't caught none. You see the point? We're not fishing for a single. The kingdom doesn't fish, as far as we're concerned, pointed to a single thing. The whole purpose is to cast the net broadly. You remember? Parable of the sower? They didn't plant those seeds individually in rows. They broadcast them out. The word goes out. Okay? Now, so now, you remember this net really represents the gospel going in to the earth. That's what this net does. Now, it gathers of every kind. Man, woman, child, Jew, Gentile, sick, healthy, rich, poor, bond, free, white, black, red, yellow, green, purple, and orange. It doesn't matter. The kingdom net catches all kinds. Aren't you glad of that?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad that it says in Revelation that out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. That's a lot of. That's out of every kind of person is God's kingdom comprised of. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad of that? Now, this person casting this kind of net can't see what kind of fish are in the water. It's a broadcasting. You see? They can't see what kind of things are going to draw in. But then, that's a little bit different than what they were used to, being Jews. Y'all remember, Jesus was a Jew. And this gospel was first preached to people with distinction. It was targeted to a certain group of people, was it not?
Yeah.
What did he said it was, Paul said that it was needful that it was first preached to the Jews. Jesus said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was the gospel of the kingdom was first preached to the Jews, and then at Jesus ascending up, what did he say in Mark? Go ye into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's not, you preach it now without distinction.
Amen.
You preach it to every creature, he says. He's not talking about dogs and cats and cows and horses. He's talking about creatures of God, those new creation. But you don't know who's a new creature or not unless you see the evidences. But he didn't make a distinction about you just preaching to born again people. Now, it's not, because you don't know. It's not going to make the your job is not to determine whether they're worthy to hear it or not. Your job is to preach it. God will make them worthy to hear it or not. Or God has made them worthy to hear it or not, or able to hear it or not. Now, so, y'all listen, because when the net is full, what do? When the net's full, they draw it to shore, and they sat down, and they gathered the good into vessels. And they cast the bad away. How do you know what's good and what's bad? There's a judgment being made, isn't there? I think that it would be very easy to apply this to the last day, when the Lord comes back with a shout and He separates His sheep from the goats. That'd be an easy application. And I think at some level you can do that. But this doesn't say Jesus is going to do it. This says that the people that cast the net do it. The people that do it, they're the ones making the judgments. They're the ones, it says the angels did that. It said, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, I think that the best application is for right now, because this is the kingdom in the world. The people casting the net are the preachers. All right? Now, this is not a far stretch to think that the angels are called preachers here, because in Revelation, remember what God told John to write? He said, unto the angel at the church of Thyatira write. He's talking about the preachers. He's talking about the pastors of those places. He said, you write, because what is an angel anyway? It's a messenger of God. That's what an angel is. They could have just as easily said, to the angel at the church at Union write if John was writing me something that God told him to write to me? Y'all got it? Now, wow. That kind of puts a little different spin on it, don't it? If you want, I'm not going to get dogmatic about this and say that you can't make a parallel between the net being the kingdom and when it's full and the last heir promise is born again, that God's going to draw to shore and then they're going to have the separation. That's true. I don't know if this is the place where it where we ought to teach that from, but that's a true thing. That is going to happen. I think here in this context, with what he's talking about, the kingdom being a net and the angels doing this, so the Lord, because there's got to be some distinctions made. Did you know that the Jews didn't think anybody else could possibly be of God?
That's right.
Because they weren't born into the nation of Israel. And Israel was a chosen nation of God, weren't they? So they made the distinction based on their lineage, their birth, and their nationality. You know, they called everybody that wasn't a Jew a dog. I mean, even the Samaritans that were mixed, Israelites that were mixed, even the Jews called them dogs because they were impure. Now, I want to show this net. It's a serious, serious thing. It was so serious on from two different perspectives. You remember, they didn't go into all the world when Jesus told them to go into all the world, did they? They waited. I think they waited on the Lord. But they waited. It didn't happen immediately that they preached to the Gentiles. But y'all remember what happened? We have the first instance. Well, the first instance was when Jesus preached to the dogs, you know, preached to the woman at the well, who was a Samaritan woman, where he told the disciples not to go to Samaria. But then later on, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Yeah. Now was the time. All right. But he didn't tell his disciples to do it until after his resurrection. And then, even then, after that, they didn't go. But there come a time. You know, because these Jews, they still had that mindset, didn't they? That we're top shelf stuff. God is obligated to bless us because of our lineage.
Amen.
Because of our birthright. I mean, they considered it a birthright. God's blessings were to them a birthright. Isn't that strange? It wouldn't be strange if you lived back then. But now Jesus says, go ye into all the world, and what? And to look at this net from both perspectives. Y'all remember Peter still had that haughty attitude of being a Jew. He was a Jew. He's brought up in their traditions, and it's hard to unlearn things.
Amen.
And Peter went up. He was hungry, and he was waiting on his wife to cook a meal. I'm guessing, seemed like that to me. They didn't have microwaves back then. They couldn't get the meals fast. They had to wait on them to be cooked. And he went up on the rooftop and he got sleepy. And God sent him a vision. You remember what the vision was? It says a vessel, different word than the vessel Jesus used here, but a vessel was let down from heaven and it had a sheet knit at four corners. And it looked kind of like what a sail would be. And contained within that cell was all manner of beasts and creeping things. And God said to Peter in that vision, "Arise, Peter, slay and eat." And Peter says, "Not so, Lord." Can you imagine that? Peter the God himself telling you to, it's okay to eat this, and you're telling God, "God, that's not good enough for me. I've not ever eaten anything common or unclean." You know, God told him basically, "There's some catfish in there, some shrimp, Peter. Go ahead and eat them." And Peter says, "Nope. You're wrong, God. I can't eat that because that's common and unclean." But God said, "Call not that thou common which that which I have cleansed." And this happened three times where God said, "Peter, slay and eat." And Peter, I guess all three times, said no. And then the last time God said, "Don't you call that common that which I have cleansed." And the net was taken up. You know, Peter had the Pharisaical attitude still, didn't he? He had that national pride that they were top shelf stuff in God's book. And no, they had a monopoly on God. That's what they felt like. And God said, "Peter, I'm going to tell you right now that this kingdom of heaven is like a net, and it's going to catch all kind of people." Amen. It's going to catch people that you think are common and unclean. It's going to catch people that I have cleansed.
That's right.
Not from your judgment, but now from this gospel goes out into the world with indiscretion. Or, well, that's not right. Indiscriminately. All right? Not with indiscretion, but indiscriminately. It's going to be preached to every creature, and there's going to be some of all kinds that are caught in it. You know what Peter's testimony was later on? He said, "God hath showed me that he's not a respecter of persons."
Amen.
He said, "God has shown me that there's a lot of people. Everybody is worthy to hear the gospel preached." You know, Paul made that same distinction, didn't he? He says, "I am a debtor both to the Jew and the Greek, to the barbarian." Now, Paul wasn't indebted because the barbarians had done a boatload of stuff for him. But he was indebted by God to preach the gospel in an indiscriminate, not judging whether somebody was worthy to hear it or not. Is this making sense today? So we've got this gospel kingdom being cast out without discrimination based on who we think. That's that one aspect of it that God showed Peter. Do you know, there's another aspect that this kingdom is like too. And you know, it said when they drew it to shore, the angels came and they took and they separated the bad from the good. How's that applied now? How in the world do we do that? Well, all we have to do is read. Do y'all know that every person caught up by the gospel preaching is not always a just, righteous person? They don't always have the understanding. You know, if that was true, Paul would not have told those elders at Ephesus. He said, "I know after my departure, grievous wolves are going to enter in." Do y'all know that? This gospel that's preached, there's some discrimination that must arise. There's some judgment that must happen. But the judgment is no longer based on the color of your skin, your nationality, your bloodline, or your birthright.
Amen.
It's based on something different. It's based on... do y'all know... Y'all remember these names? Hymenaeus, Alexander, Philetus. Y'all remember those? Remember Paul wrote about those in 1 and 2 Timothy? And Paul says, so the separation happens between those that are caught in the net. So 1 Timothy 19, Paul says, holding faith and a good conscience. Let me go over there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says in verse 18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." You know, some wars are good. "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." You know, a lot of people are quick to say, "Don't judge me." My friends, without judgment, there's no distinction between the good and the bad fish. Got it? But remember, the basis of the judgment is no longer your nationality, the color of your skin, or how you talk. It's not by birth. It's by how you manifest what the Spirit of God has done in your life. This Hymenaeus, Philetus, Alexander, they started off good. The whole church at Galatia started off good. And Paul called them foolish for leaving what they started out in. Now, he didn't cast them away. He didn't cast the whole church of Galatia away, but he did Hymenaeus, Philetus, and Alexander. You look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn over a few pages. Paul says to Timothy, study in verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That means there's some judgment that has to go when you read and preach the word of truth. He says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker," or cancer, "of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus." Paul called them out by name and said, "These people have entered in and they're preaching untruths to you, and what they're that heinous doctrine of whatever it was that they're preaching to you is like a cancer. "Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." And that's where you were, Brother David. "Nevertheless, foundation of God have stand sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His." Amen. We don't always, but God always does.
Amen.
Ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
So the purpose of the gospel is not for us to determine who's God's beforehand to direct who we're going to preach it to, Brother David. Well, preach it to everybody. God's going to catch who He catches. And sometimes them are bad. They develop badness. Y'all got it? Sometimes the pastors don't see the fruits. Have y'all ever noticed people that have the gospel, that some folks get caught up in it and they come down and they haven't brought forth fruits meet for repentance and they want to join the church? I've seen preachers say, well, we're going to have to table this because we don't know about your life. But my friends, when I see the evidence of the fruit of God in people's lives, it makes me happy and free to say they're good fish. We're going to put them in the vessel. What's the vessel? It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what the vessel is. We're going to bring them into the church. And there's some folks that just frankly ain't fitting to be members of a church because they haven't demonstrated the fruits. Meet for repentance. There's some judgment that has to happen. But you know, this is not my subject, really. Well, kind of is. You know, there's a lot of... I saw a post, it was a couple years ago, maybe last year, early last year sometime. Saw a post, somebody said, I'm been out of church for a long time. I'm living with my boyfriend. And, you know, she said, I'm looking for a church that's non-judgmental. That didn't shock me. What shocked me was the response from the churches and the pastors of churches. Yeah, and the people that were attending those other churches. I'm telling you, it shocked me. I was sitting there with my mouth open saying, I can't believe it. Some folks said, we don't care what you do. Just come on and be a part of our family. Right. My friends, God is more distinctive than that. My, how far we've gotten away from God's Word in our culture. Where folks think that God is just welcoming people and appeasing their behavior and just saying, come on, let's just love everybody. If it feels good, do it. And God sanctions it because if it feels good, God must have sanctioned it. No. That's not what God's Word said. It won't bear it out. Now, so... Y'all got the whole purpose of this net is to be cast. And it's going to catch some folks that are not that desirable. Well, what happens is, it's going to catch a whole lot more good ones. Just cast the bad and separate them out. But the purpose is to not be distinctive in who it's cast to. Because just like I can't see the fish underneath the water, the preacher can't tell what the Lord's doing in somebody's heart. Amen. When he preaches the gospel to him. He don't know what the Lord's talking to them. You know, the Lord does that. The Lord speaks with a still small voice inside the heart of people that he's changed. I can't see it. I can't hear that voice inside of you. I can just hear that voice inside of me. And if the Lord just don't do that one time at regeneration. He does that a bunch of times during the life of a child of his. He speaks to them in that still small voice. Sometimes it's words of comfort. Sometimes it's words of warning. Sometimes it's words of rebuke. And sometimes it's words of instruction about what we need to do. It's called the leadership of the Spirit. Amen. And my friends, I can't hear that voice for you, but God can. And if the voice of the preacher is, you know, we're getting into a whole other realm right here called the hearing of faith. When what you're hearing in your ears is matched up exactly with what God has put in your heart and what He's telling you, then it is consistent with itself and it makes sense. Amen. It's harmony. It harmonizes. Now, Then he says, y'all listen to this. Let me go back to Matthew 13. This is important stuff we're talking about the kingdom.
Amen.
This blows me away. In 51. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? And they say unto him, yea, Lord. That's amazing. Wow. They understood all those things. We got it, Lord. I don't really think that they 100% understood every bit of them. Listen to this. They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, this is Jesus telling them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Y'all know what a scribe is? A scribe was a term that they all would have known. A scribe is graphia. It's like letters. And these scribes, you remember it talks about the scribes and the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, it's different in the chief priests. A scribe is one that is instructed in, examines, and teaches the finer points of the law. Whenever folks had, because they just immersed themselves in God's law. And if anybody had a question about anything, even the chief priests would go to the scribes and say, all right, we got a situation here. What does God's word say about it? And they'd say, I'll tell you exactly what it says about it. And they'd go in and they'd say, here it says this and here it says this. And they would help them determine the course of action based on God's word. Now, that's what a scribe is. Now, Jesus is talking about every scribe that knows the Old Testament, which is instructed in the kingdom. That's something new, isn't it? Is like a householder that bringeth forth from his treasures both new and old. That man is able to see Jesus Christ now. He's able to see him in all the old, in all the law. You know what Jesus did on the road to Emmaus? You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember when the Lord was walking and they were walking and they were sad because they thought that he should have been the Savior and Redeemer of Israel. And they were sad. And Jesus said, why are you sad? And they said, because we thought it would have been him. And Jesus said, ought not to Christ have died? And he expounded unto them from Moses to the prophets all things concerning himself.
Amen.
What a conversation.
Wow.
And they got happy, didn't they?
Yeah.
He was bringing forth from his treasure both old and new.
Amen.
And he was but mainly from the old, but he was giving them something new that they had never heard. And do you know that old and new? The old means worn. I remember Brother Fuller. They talk about Brother Fuller here a lot. And I love Brother Fuller. But one thing Brother Fuller used to say about his favorite scriptures, he said, I done wore it slick. Where it's hard to figure out. And it's been dealt with so much, it's old. And it's kind of worn out. Because it's well used. And Jesus had taken those well used, well understood scriptures that they really couldn't see Christ in and applied them to himself that I have now fulfilled these. And they rejoiced in their heart.
Amen.
Not only did they rejoice, they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us while we were in the way. Boy, I tell you what, when the man of God brings forth out of the treasures, both new and old, it'll make your heart burn. It'll make your heart burn. Not in a bad, not heartburn in a bad way, but heartburn in a good way. You know, the only kind of medicine that you need for that kind of heartburn is to be obedient with it. That's the only thing that'll make that heartburn keep going, not go away, but keep going. You know, that's funny. Men give medicine to make stuff go away, but God's got some medicine to help stuff stay. You want your heart to burn? Be obedient to that still small voice that's happening into you. And if the net has been cast and you've been caught up in it, don't be like the wild bull thrashing around trying to get out. Just let them draw you to shore. Let them draw you to shore. Well, I tell you what, this is good stuff. This new treasure, you know, the old one was the law, but this new one is grace. That grace will tell you not only about the means of His obtaining eternal redemption for us, but it will also tell us about how the life that now is, how to live the life that we now live. You know, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul made a distinction between those two lives, didn't he? He said, I got that eternal life and I'm living it now. And the only way that I live that life now is by faith. My friends, the doors of the church are open. If you've been caught in the net and these things have resonated with your ears and with your heart, to come on and join the church and join this band of believers here. May God richly bless us and keep us as we follow in His way and we continue to broadcast the net into the world by preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And that's not just the preacher's duty. Everybody has a testimony. Everybody can tell the good news. Remember Stephen, the deacon? It wasn't long after he was ordained deacon. He preached, didn't he? I'm not telling you that you're called to preach, Brother Patrick, but you know, I mentioned it a couple times already, though, about deacons preaching. You have a testimony, and you know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, learn the Word of God and preach it to your neighbors. Preach it to your friends. May God bless you, my prayer.